Well, good morning, church. Lovely to see all of your smiley faces in the house this morning. Good to see you and welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church and this, our Mothering Sunday. So happy Mother's Day to all of the outstanding, remarkable mothers and ladies here at SBC. You are so welcome. And we pray that you will be really blessed today and that you will be spoilt and that your children, grandchildren, that they will look after you extra special today. You deserve it. But not only does our mothers deserve recognition today, but most of all, we're here today because someone else needs recognition. Someone else is deserving of the praise, even more so than earthly mothers, and that is none other than the Lord himself. God Almighty is deserving of recognition, deserving of praise, deserving of our worship, and that's why we are here this morning to worship the Lord. Before I go any further, I'm going to ask you now to fix your attention to the screens, and we're going to have a special Mother's Day tribute by way of a video.
Just give me 1 second.
Thank
sure. you. Sorry. Uh-huh. Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
hey,
that.
Hey, oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No.
Not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Worried about when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No.
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
Oh!
they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Amen. Being a mom, being a parent, as it says there in the video, is the only full-time job that we have in this world that you are enlisted to do without any pay. No remuneration, monetary remuneration anyway. But of course, in order to fulfill the job of a mother, of a parent, it requires love. It requires a deep sense of love for the child that you have been entrusted to raise. And for that very reason, we want to celebrate all of the mothers here today. And I'm going to invite all of the children to stand, and all the men, please stand with me. All children and all men, please stand with me. All children and all men. All right. All right. All children, all men. And what I want you to do is just look around at all of these lovely ladies that you see around you. And we're just going to put our hands together and celebrate and thank God for them. Thank God for them. We appreciate you. Amen. We appreciate all that you do, all that you do. Whether you are, you have children or not, you are still so appreciated. And for all that you do, even in the church, to be an example, we thank God for you. Please do take your seats. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in that same vein as we appreciate all of the mothers, all of the women. But as I said earlier, we also want to give honor to whom honor is due, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And our first song encourages us to do just that. I give you all the honor. Let's stand if you're able as we sing together. I give you all the honor. When you do the yeah, mother's bit. Okay, that's fine, yeah.
I've received
that bound me. You set this captive free. I will lift my voice to praise your name for all eternity. Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to invite our deacons to come now and join me as we prepare for this wonderful family meal that the Lord Jesus has instructed us to do, to partake of. As often as we do it, we do so in remembrance of Him. Want to read a few verses from 1 John chapter 5. And it reads like this. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Amen. I shared this passage of scripture with the pastoral team on Friday, and I shared with them that many people around the world throughout the ages have attempted to study God, to grasp all that they could find about God. Many study, like myself for the past 3 years, theology, which simply means the study of God. But we know it's impossible. Whether you spend 3 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, it's impossible to know all there is about God, because God is so vast in his knowledge. His power is far too big for our finite human minds and understanding. But what I love about John, he gets straight to the point and he says, if you want to know God, if you want to know a simple definition for who God is, he says simply, God is love. Can we say that together? God is love. And friends, may you never forget that truth, that God is love. Regardless of the hate and the terror and the really evil things that we see happening all around us today in our world, never forget, friends, that God is love. And he has demonstrated his love to this world, demonstrated it in a perfect way by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary and to die for our sins on the cross. And that's why we are here this morning to partake of this sacred meal, to remember the great love that God has demonstrated for us. So this meal is freely available to anyone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You are welcome to partake of this meal of sacrifice. But if you are not at that place where you have not come to faith in Jesus Christ for yourself, then I would lovingly encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come into that full knowledge and understanding of Jesus for yourself. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come now and to pray God's blessing over the bread and over the wine.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, would you say thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we can take part, Lord, of this meal. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we ask, Lord, you bless it to each one of us, that your name should be glorified in our lives. To you be the praise and the glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, records these words, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you." The very same night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Well, church, as you are now served with what represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be very thankful in your hearts. Amen. Going upstairs. He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death he paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. He came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Say, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Crucified, laid behind the stone. He lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall and thought of me and thought of me. Above all, above all, crucified, crucified, laid behind the stone. He lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In like manner, he then took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back again. Well, churches, you're now served with what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll partake together as a sign of our Christian unity through Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
The precious blood.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power. Power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, let us now partake of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that what makes us one with God and gives us peace with Him. Let us drink now.
Amen.
Today's message and sermon is all about the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. And we know as Christians that in order to follow Jesus, it takes us making a stand for Him, a bold stand to follow Him and to reject the ways of the world. So we're going to stand and sing together an old hymn of the church. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Please do take your seats. Our theme this year as a local church is growth. Spiritual growth, relational growth, and also numerical growth. And to that end, we are grateful to God for two new members who we're going to now officially receive into membership of the church. So Isabella, please do come, Isabella. And also Bex, is Bex here? Bex Ratchford? Not here, okay. We will save Bex's one for another time. Hi, Isabella. Turn around so they can all can see you. This is Isabella, everyone. I'm sure many of you have already met Isabella and had a chance to talk and get to know her. But Isabella is now joining us as an official member of Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Amen. Talking with Isabella, you will know, very quickly that she really loves the Lord and she's passionate about serving, and she wants to get involved and to be a blessing to the church and to the community. And we just want you to know, Isabella, you are warmly welcome here. And we are here. You have a whole army here supporting you, a community of faith who are praying for you, praying with you. And we just pray that you will continue to grow here at SBC and that you will continue to be blessed by the ministry here. You are so welcome. And this is just a little pack, some nighttime reading for you. Oh, your son is here today. Oh, welcome. 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 Oh, it's a great day then. It's a great day for you. Yeah, Mother's Day, coming into membership. Oh, welcome. Well, let's just pray for Isabella now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for Isabella. Thank you, Lord, for her faith, her trust, her commitment to you. We do pray, Lord, going forward, that you will just continue to surround her, protect her, Lord. And Lord, as she seeks to get involved in the ministry here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church, we just say thank you for all that you will do through her. Thank you that she has such a willing heart. And we pray, Lord, that as we know, she will be a real tremendous blessing to this local community. And we pray you'll continue to have your hand on her and on her life. We do thank you for her family. Thank you for her son that is with her this morning. And we pray just continue to strengthen her now physically. Just strengthen her, Lord. Touch her body. And we just thank you for all that you will do through her life. So we welcome her now and thank you that you have already ordained this very moment for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Welcome, Isabella. All right, well, I'm going to invite Kuda to come, and she is going to do the birthday box and also do a little introduction regarding Mother's Day.
Okay, so has any of the children had a birthday or going to have a birthday previous week, next week? Anyone at all? I know it was Bev's birthday on Friday. I don't know who else. Who else has a birthday? Any of the older people had a birthday? No. No, not a good week for birthdays, no. So the birthday box will stay slightly closed. But we'll just wish Bev a birthday. Happy birthday from Friday. So moving on now to the Mother's Day bit that the children are going to come and help me with, but in a minute. First of all, I have to do a little link into the Mother's Day gift. We have got gifts for the mothers, and I will be needing children to help. There are gifts that are upstairs for the children that are upstairs to give to mothers, and gifts downstairs. But they do need a little bit of explanation this year, because you might not see the immediate link. Because our Mother's Day gifts are key rings in the shape of dinosaurs. Okay, so I say to Bev, hey, great, you've got 90 key rings to give to the mothers. What does that have to do with Mother's Day? And I was like, Lord, you're gonna help me here. So he did, and I've got a poem that I've written with God's help. I'm gonna blame God for most of it. And it's called, My Mother is a Dinosaur. My mother is a dinosaur. She is big and strong. Nothing can overcome her. My mother is able to carry all my problems, my mistakes, and my misery. and still love me. My mother can reach the sky with the love she has for me, and she's willing to let me know in every way that she loves me. My mother's patience is a mountain that never crumbles. She drinks from the fountain of joy when she holds my hand. My mother is fierce and scary. She scares all the bad things away and makes me feel safe. My mother can be blue or orange or red. She is every color of the rainbow to me. God made her every color that suits me. When my mother stomps, the stairs shake. But then I know that she will run through storms to get to rescue me. My mother is a dinosaur. She is always here for me, and I want her to always be here for me. I love my dinosaur. I love my mother. So when you receive your dinosaur key ring, all the dinosaurs, all the mothers, I hope that you'll remember all the qualities that you can be for your child. No matter what animal it is, you can take the good in that animal and bring strength to your family, strength to your children, and be a dinosaur. So I think Danny's coordinating upstairs for me. She's gonna get some helpers. Yeah, David, go to where Danny is. She's got some containers, and I've got some containers here. So I need about 7 children downstairs to come and get the containers. Come on. Come on, Isabel. Thank you. Thank you, Farah. Oh, yep. So they are all health and safety, you know. They're all individually wrapped. So just take the one you like the look of. Yeah. And we're going to give these to all the mothers, all the aunties, all the people that love us, all the ladies. Please take one with the love from the church. If you want to swap, you'll have to come and see me to swap later on. So just take one. Give them 3 seconds warning, because we've got to go. You'll be fine, honestly. Zach, have you finished? Has everybody got one? That, some people at the back, on the bottom, on the ground floor here, please. Anybody that's not here, I will have all the spare key rings. If you want to swap, you'll have to catch me, not today, because today I've got to spread myself in 3 places. Jerome's still in High Wycombe, so he's not coming home for Mother's Day. But it's okay. He's still my son. I'm still his mother. He doesn't get out of it that easily. He sent me a photo of the card because he didn't post it in time. I know. And this is going out on Facebook. So hello, Jerome. Good morning to you. Love you. Yeah. He watches the service as well. And then Emmanuel forgot. So while he was getting ready for football, I was like, I'll come and pick you up after I've done the thing in church for Mother's Day. And was like, oh, sorry, mommy, happy Mother's Day. But Daniela had a card and a present, so thank God, there's still hope. Now, normally I would do the prayers, but I'm not going to pray. But I do want to let all the ladies in the house know. If you're 18 and above, you are our mothers. You are our potential mothers. You don't need to have given birth to me to be my mother. Pam, always be mom. Linda's mom is my mom. There's some people here that I've leaned on like mothers. You are my mothers. You're my sisters, and, you know, we'll go through this journey together. There's some people that I am mother to, and some of them I didn't give birth to, but if I see them in the rain, I will stop. Are you okay? Where are you going? And I will turn the car around. To be a mother, you don't have to have given birth to me. You will still be my mother. When I need you, I'm going to suckle at your breast, as they say in Africa. I'm coming to take what I need from you. Mm. Because if I need you, you are my mother. Mm. I'd like to appreciate all the ladies in the house. If you're 18 and above, you're a mother, you're a potential mother. And if you see the little ones coming to you for help or anything, you are their mother at that moment. And I'd like to ask Dami, one of the young people from The Way, to come and pray for the mothers.
Hi, church. So I'm Damia, and I'll be praying for the mothers. Lord, I just want to thank you for the mothers that are here today and those that are absent or watching online. Thank you for those that are well and also unwell. Thank you for those that feel happy or may feel sad at this point in time. Thank you for those that are biological mothers or unbiological, whether they adopted the child or they just mothering the child. They have that mothering love towards the child. I want to thank you for all of them, for placing them in our lives. I also want to thank you for blessing their families and making sure that they're a blessing to their respective families in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for the godly wisdom and the spiritual influence that they have instilled and will continually instill into their children. We thank you that you continue to bless her and surround her with your grace and favor.
Yes.
Father, I pray you assist mothers in guiding their words in the right path that you have set for them, as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that he has a plan for each and every one of us, that of good and not of evil, that you will help these mothers in training their child for your glory and to fulfill their purpose as it was planned and at the right time. We pray that mothers will help their children to reach the promised land at the appropriate time and not fumble like the Israelites who took 40 years on an 11-day journey. We thank you that you will help them to quicken our pace, O Lord, to reach where you want us to go. We thank you for placing such wonderful people in our lives and blessing them with the capacity for catering to their child's needs. You know, every mother is special. Some mothers, they just help you when maybe you're sick or you're down, and you're just, it's just wonderful that you do a lot of things. Some may be rude or disobedient, or you don't want to listen, but they still love you. And they'll still be there for you. It's just amazing. So thank you, Lord, for placing all of them in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you, for the favor you're giving to them. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Dami. And now we're going to ask the children to leave. But before they do, we're just going to pray for them as well. Father, we thank you for all the children that remembered Mother's Day, and even those that didn't. We still love them. And Lord, we thank you that they bring such joy to us in this church and into our homes. And we pray, oh Lord God, that as they're learning today, that Lord, you will touch them in a new way. Answer the questions that they refuse to ask, oh God, and be there for them every step of the way. Wherever they are, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit over them, that you will protect and guide them when they are in this church and when they are out there. And Father, we pray that when the time of choice comes, Lord, they will stand and they will make a stand for Jesus. Like we sang today, that they will stand up and stand up for Jesus, that they will say yes to your will and your way every time, that they will not be influenced badly by the peers around them, that Lord God, your Holy Spirit will speak to them from the inside out, and your glory will be seen in them, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you will let our children go forth and shine, and be great in the nation, that they will fulfill their potential, that everything they need, oh God, even as mothers, we will provide for them, as friends of their mothers, as aunties, whatever it is, that Lord God, we will see the need and we will feel that need. That Lord, we will be mothers indeed that are able to change what is needed. And they can change whatever is needed, oh God, we will change to suit that. And we will look at individual children and cater for them. All this we pray that, Lord God, you will guide our children to that knowledge, the knowledge that is Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray right now. Amen. Okay, children, can you get up now and go off to your groups? And we thank God for the teachers, too, and their patience and their mothering nature. Thank you, teachers. Thank you, Nathan.
There's an old song we're going to sing a few times. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I feel that in my heart. I have decided to follow Jesus. Yes. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me. Though none go with me. Still I will follow. I will follow. Though none go with me. Still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 to 62. As we continue in our series Stories That Jesus Told, the cost of following Jesus today. And the word of the Lord reads like this from verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied to the man, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you. Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Amen. Today I'm asking the question, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Excuses, excuses, excuses. All of us here today, myself included, over the course of our lives, friends, we have had to go through, we've been tried and we've been tested by the courts of human nature. And we've all been found guilty from time to time, guilty with charge for making excuses. Excuses which simply can be defined as giving an explanation or a reason for choosing not to do something that we're supposed to do, or for whatever reason, coming up with a plausible story to cover our backs for choosing to do something that we should not have done. And church, in a real sense, some of the excuses that we make in our lives, for some of those excuses, they could be considered as legitimate excuses, legitimate ones. For example, for those of you here this morning who work, and your start time at work is 9 a.m. in the morning. And if you woke up on time and you left your house nice and early with ample time to arrive at your place of employment, ready to start the day at 9 a.m. But let's just say that on your commute to work, you found out that the train lines were shut down and all trains were cancelled. And now you needed to make alternative arrangements. And I'm sure in that instant, church, your employer would understand that your excuse for being late is a valid one. Because let's face it, surely there should be a degree of human understanding that situations can arise that are beyond our human control, that gives free course, that gives liberty for certain types of excuses. However, church, we know deep down in our souls, when the excuses we make in our lives, whenever we make excuses, we know deep down whether they are legitimate or not. I was reading an article not too long ago from an individual called Orda Hassan. And in his article that was penned in 2021, which was aimed at inspiring readers to focus on their goals, to focus on their objectives in life, to focus on their dreams, to be self-motivated, to be diligent, in order to reach toward those desired goals and dreams. But in the article, Hassan goes on to say that the chief enemy to human beings, that the chief obstacle in the way of us achieving our goals, is the inclusion of, you guessed it, excuses. In fact, Hassan goes on to name 20 common excuses that we make in our lives that prevent us from reaching our desired goals. And I'm just going to name just a few of them before you today. Number one, Hassan says, one of the most common excuses we make as humans is, number one, I'm too old to start. I'm too old to start. I wonder if there's anyone here today who have recently uttered those words. I'm too old. I'm too old for this. I'm too old to start something new. I'm too old to change some things in my life. I'm too settled in my ways. I can't be asked at this time in my life now to change things in my life. After all, they worked for me in the past. And I'll be just good and fine and happy with those same methods now. And friends, even from a Christian perspective, and even in the church, age can be used, whether it's too old or too young, age can be used as an excuse to not to try something new or to embrace change. But I want to encourage you this morning, church, as long as you are still breathing, regardless of your age, God still has the power and the ability to give us something new to do. We can't use age as an excuse to opt out of journeying on something new for God, because God still has more of his wisdom to pass on to us, more of his grace, more of his love for us to ascertain. And could it be that if you feel that you are too old now at this season of your life, could it be that God is calling you and has equipped you to pass on your wisdom to the younger generations, to come alongside someone and pass on your knowledge to someone younger? So you may feel that your best days are behind you, but I want to encourage you today that God still has so much in store for you. Your age does not dismiss you from playing an important part in the kingdom of God and in his church. So number one, the excuse of I'm too old. But number two, here's another one, I'm not talented enough. I'm not talented enough. Hassan says in his article that we should not allow the pressure of what he calls comparison to make us feel insignificant in our lives. Because we look at other people and we look at how gifted they are and how talented they are and how creative they are, and we look at ourselves and we say, oh man, I'm just nowhere near good enough, nowhere near as talented as they are. And if we're not careful, church, we can allow talent or the lack thereof to make us come up with excuses for not doing something. And even though the Bible lets us know that there are many examples in Scripture of people making excuses for a lack of talent or for feeling insignificant for the Lord. You remember our good friend Moses. Moses, who was out minding his own business, tending to his father-in-law's sheep and the goats, when he saw a bush that was on fire, but the bush was not consumed. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. And the Lord went on to share his divine will for his people. He says, I want you, Moses, to go to Pharaoh, deliver a message, and let him know that I want my people to be set free. Let them go. However, Moses, initially, he made an excuse. He said, Lord, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses felt a lack of confidence to do what God was calling him to do. Because in Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses talk a little more deeper about his lack of confidence. He says, Lord, how am I supposed to be your servant and lead the people of Israel, and I lack the ability to be eloquent in my speech? He felt that he was not eloquent enough to be able to be used by God in his service. And church, I want to pause right here to encourage you this morning. Please never allow what you perceive to be a lack of talent or a lack of ability to limit your potential of what God is able to do in your life. God is not intimidated, friends, by a lack of talent. All he needs is a willing heart and willing hands to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Lord, I am available to you. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything, but here I am, Lord. Use me as your vessel. Fill me up and use me. I want to be used at the Master's service. Church, I'm here to encourage you that you don't have to know it all to be used by God. You don't have to be talented and gifted on a level that you perceive to be great to be used by God. God can use you with what you have to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. So friends, before you write yourself off as not suitable for the job, before you write yourself off as insignificant, not talented enough to try something new or to be used by God, let me just encourage you to think again. Because with God in your life, all things are possible. And at the end of the day, especially when it comes to serving the Lord, it's not about talent. It's about the anointing of God on your life. That's what makes the difference. It's not our eloquent speech. It's not our fancy oratory. It's the anointing of God that makes the difference. I would rather have a lack of talent, but have the anointing of God on my life. Friends, you'll be amazed. And people, when I talk to some of my friends, they say, you know, how you get up there and preach to people on Sundays? And if anyone knows me, really knows me, they know that I am an introvert at heart. Getting up here and preaching on a stage is totally the opposite of my actual human nature. I am quite satisfied if I had the choice to sit down, be quiet, come to church, worship, go home, and that's good with me. So when God called me to ministry, I had to deal with feeling insignificant. I'm not good enough for this. How am I going to do this? I can't speak in front of so many people. I'm just a kid from Southeast London. God says, no. No, it's not about what you think you should have or what you think you should do. It's about being available to Him. Just to reach out with sincerity and say, Lord, I am available to you. And when we do that, friends, God is able to do amazing things in our lives. Just be available. I remember when I just started preaching here, and I had my very own Moses experience. I remember thinking, how am I going to preach? Especially when I heard the sermons of our former minister. And I thought, wow, I can't get up here after this. But it was at that moment that the Lord, I felt the rebuke of the Lord just come upon me. Say, don't you dare compare yourself to others. You stand in the anointing and in the grace that God has on your life. And friends, it's so important that we don't just compare ourselves to other people, because in doing so, it can really restrict us and inhibit us and make us fearful to want to stand up and do something for God, to volunteer, to stand forward and say, yes, I'll do it, because you think, I can't do it. I can't do it like those that are up there. But just with what you have and a willing heart, say, Lord, I'm available to you. And He's able to do great things in your life. Here's just one more excuse from Hassan's article. He says it's the excuse of, I will start tomorrow. I will get it done tomorrow. It's the excuse of procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. I'm just not ready right now. In the words of Annie's soundtrack, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow, always a day away. And friends, when it comes to serving the Lord, many throughout the ages and even today, we pray that prayer of tomorrow. Yes, Lord, I'll give my life to you, but right now, it's not a good time. Let me just sort out some things first. I've heard that so many times when I've been sharing the gospel with my friends and my peers. Yeah, I get it. I do believe, but just right now, you know, just let me just live a little first and, you know, just experience some things first before I fully give my life to Christ. I just want to, you know, go here, there and just dabble in a few things and then I'll come back a little later on, you know, when I've, you know, how many have heard that before? Excuse. Let me sort out some things first. The excuse of tomorrow. But friends, the call of Christ is very simply, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Get on with it. I have already demonstrated to you my will. I have already given you the plan of salvation, this free gift that will save your life, that will not only give you eternal security, but it will allow you to live this life today in abundance, with peace that surpasses all human understanding. You see, friends, within each and every one of us, we have that propensity to make excuses in our lives. And some of the excuses that we make, and the very fact that we can make excuses, it points to that God-given capacity of what we call free will. Because God has not made us as robots. We have been created with the theological term free moral agency. God has not made us as robots that we, you know, he just points the finger and we do everything that he programs us to do. He's given us the perfect way and the plan, but we all have free will in order to serve him or not, to give our lives to him or not. It's free will. It's like when I was a kid, I used to love, my dad always used to buy me a little game called Scalectric. Who remembers Scalectric? You build the track and you get the car and then you get the remote and then you press the button and the car goes around the track. But one of the things about Scalectric, it's just like in our lives, because as God has made us, the Scalectric with the car that goes around the track, that is subject to me having the remote in my hand. And as I press the button, the car moves. But if I don't press the button, the car stops. Because the car is subject to my will. The car has no will of itself. But that's not how we have been made by God. We have our own desires and we have our own will. And we can choose if we want to serve the Lord or not. And that is exactly what we see here in Luke chapter 9. We see a wonderful story of the challenge, or the collision, if you will, between the divine will of God and human free will and choice, and the excuses that arise out of free will. And I want to leave in closing just three brief points of view today as we reflect on the excuses that we make in our lives. And I pray that this will bless you as we examine these three men here in the story and the excuses that they made in reference to Jesus. And the first one I want to leave with you is number one, as you see in your sermon notes, are we too cozy? Can we say that together? Are we too cozy? Yes. Verses 57 to 58. We see here that as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, now the first account is different from the other two, because the first account we see that this man called out to Jesus to follow. Of his own volition, he says, Lord, I want to follow you. He says in verse 57, I will follow you wherever you go. Now the other two, Jesus summons them and says, follow me. But this time, this man, he says, I will follow you wherever you go, Lord. And Jesus' reply is, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus here gives an update on his personal living arrangements. Jesus did not have a permanent residence, a permanent place of abode. Jesus was on the mission field. He was about his Father's business. He did not have the comforts of a permanent place of abode. And it lets us know, friends, that following Jesus is not always comfortable. Following Jesus is not cozy. It's not that feeling of being in your comfortable slippers, in your dressing gown, and being nice and warm and cozy and comfortable. But following Jesus, it's risky. There are even dangers on the mission field. There are many challenges and obstacles as we stand up for Jesus, as we sang that great hymn. Full of obstacles, full of challenges on the mission field. But here is the great news for following Jesus. There is tremendous joy and fruit that comes from following Jesus Christ. And as we step out in faith and follow him, yes, it will mean stepping out of our comfort zones. If you want to follow Jesus and just be nice and comfortable, then it's going to be really, really challenging. Because oftentimes, as we see in the Gospels and in the Bible, the gospel field is one that is tremendously challenging. We see in the times in which we're living in today, the church is under attack on a daily basis. We are being challenged at the very core of the fundamentals of biblical doctrine and teaching. And the challenge for us is, are we just going to be caught up in what is cozy and what is comfortable? Or are we going to stand up and say, hold on a minute, we are called to follow the word of God and to stand on his word and to stand up for Jesus, for his truth and for his righteousness. So the challenge here is, are we fearful of stepping out of our comfort zones? Are we concerned about the prospect of going somewhere new for the Lord? Could it be that God is calling you to do something, to start something, to even go somewhere where you haven't gone before? And maybe you're in your heart and in your prayers, you're saying, Lord, I don't want to. I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing. Please, I just want to stay as things are. But the will of God is not always comfortable. And yes, at times it will stretch us in the area of our faith. But the joy of serving Christ will always outweigh the prospect of being uncomfortable. So are we too cozy? But secondly, are we too busy? Can we say that together? Are we too busy? We see the second individual now in the story. This aspiring disciple who Jesus summoned to follow. Jesus says, follow me. And the man says, I'll follow you, but let me first take care of some family matters. Let me go and bury my father. Now, I want to say something here that's important from the context of this. Jesus was not trying to diminish the importance of our families. Or was he trying to discourage us from spending quality time with our families and with our loved ones? But what he was doing here is giving us an example that following God and following Christ is the most important part of our lives. Following Jesus is the best decision that we could ever make in our lives. Now, I know that as you perhaps reflect over your lives, you've made some important decisions. For those of you who are married, Perhaps you'd say, that was a really special day for me when I got married. For those of you, your first child, you say, that was a really special, special time for me when I gave birth to my first child. But can I tell you, friends, above all of those wonderful, wonderful hallmarks in our lives, the greatest of all is knowing Jesus. And as a result of that truth, we must ensure in all of our lives that Jesus is prioritized as number one, even above our families. And I know that in our modern times of living, that can be extremely difficult to comprehend. But yes, even for the call to follow Jesus, not that we forsake our families, but we have to ensure that Christ is first, that he's number one above all. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I want to say this sensitively because we see here that this man, all he wanted to do was go and bury his father. Nothing wrong with that. He wanted to be able to say goodbye to his father. And all of us here today, I'm sure we would want to do that. We would prioritize that. But I believe Jesus wanted this man to know that yes, burying your father is significant and important. But above all else, even your father, the greatest of all is following Jesus. We're going to sing in just a moment, knowing you, Jesus. There is no greater thing. We have to make sure that Jesus is number one. And we have to guard ourselves against some of those excuses as to why we don't make sure that Jesus is number one in our lives. Third and finally, are we too distracted? Are we too distracted? The final encounter included in this parable and story in the gospel was the request of the third and final man to this time go and say goodbye to his family. Jesus, I'll follow you, but let me go home first. Just bid my family goodbye. Then I'll go on the mission field and serve you. And then Jesus, he closes out the parable by giving an analogy and painting a picture that's rather interesting. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, plowing a field in Jesus' day with a horse or a mule, it required the person to fix their attention on the job at hand, because looking back would cause the animal to lose focus and to go off course, which would evidently cause damage to the field. So this man in Jesus' day, he would have understood this picture that Jesus was painting. And this is something that we all have to take to heart in our lives. We have to be careful with making excuses. Yes, we want to follow Jesus, but we're looking to the left, we're looking to the right, we're looking at what needs to be done here, what needs to be done there. Jesus is saying, hold on a minute. You're allowing the natural things of this life to distract you from what I have called you to do. Distractions. So many distractions in our lives that take our attention away from serving the Lord. And we see how much distractions are even more so severe in our modern day of living today. We have a desire to want to spend time in reading the Bible. And when we do so, we set aside time to do so, it seems like there's so many other things that need to be done. Distractions. I remember when I was in youth ministry and serving in the volunteer team at my former church, and it was around about the time years ago when they just started to come out with the Bible app on mobile phones, and now the young people could download the Bible on their phones, and we noticed the difference that you know, young people weren't coming to church anymore with their physical Bibles, but now they were just coming with their phones. And when we were teaching and in the church service, and I remember there was even a little bit of tension amongst the older members of the congregation, because they would look around and they would see young people on their phones, and they would say, "What are they doing? That's rude. They shouldn't be on their phones in the house of the Lord." But then we had to encourage them that no, there's a Bible app on the phone, and could it be that they're reading the Bible whilst they're in church? But then those lovely children and young people, they got smart with it. Because they knew now that they had a plausible excuse to be on their phones whilst they were in the service. And they could make the excuse, if they were questioned, that, "Look, I'm on the Bible app. It's the Bible app." Knowing full well that all they did was quickly turn to the Bible app, but they were really looking on Facebook and Instagram, they were on Twitter and on social media. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And in closing, church, we have to be careful with those distractions in our lives that take us away from the plan of God for our lives. So what are some of those distractions in your life today? You know what they are. You know what those distractions are. That's limiting you, stopping you from going forward in Christ. I pray today that we will be bold enough and courageous enough to say, "Lord, I surrender all to you. I want to give you all of who I am, withholding nothing." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have called us to follow you. But Lord, in our humanity, we know that there are so many distractions in this life, and so many excuses that we can make for not doing what we know we should do. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to overcome those distractions, to get over some of those excuses that we make, so, Lord, that we can step out in faith and follow you. Lord, we know following you is not easy. We know following you can be challenging. But we also know that following you is the best thing that we could ever, ever do. So we pray for us now this morning. For those of us here today who have already been following you for many years or recently, pray just continue to give us strength as we follow you. And we pray for anyone here today who has not yet decided to follow you. We pray, Lord, that just like these men, Lord, as you're calling them, follow me, that we would open our hearts and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the worship team going to return to song, but I want to make a call to discipleship now. If there's anyone here today and you feel the Lord is calling you to follow him, and I pray today that you would open your heart and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." Following Jesus is not about anyone scaring you into following him. That's not what it's about. But I do want to lovingly encourage you today that we must be mindful of our eternal destiny. We must be mindful, as one of those excuses about tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. That's why the Bible says, today, the day you hear his voice, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And today is the best day to say, Lord, come into my life. I want to follow you. Is there anyone here today that wants to make that bold stand of faith to say, Lord, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. But Lord, here I am. I want to follow you. If there's anyone here today and you want to follow Jesus Christ, I want you to be bold and just to raise your hand. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, just be bold to raise your hand now. If you want to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. For these three individuals who have raised their hands, we're going to pray now the prayer of discipleship, invitation to discipleship. Let's pray now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for these three individuals who have raised their hands in faith to say, Lord, I want to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And thank you, Lord, for anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, who believes in the finished work of the cross. They can know Jesus for themselves and have that life, life everlasting. So, Lord, I thank you that right now you are speaking to these individuals. And I pray as they open their hearts to you, we pray, Lord, that you would receive them now. Thank you for the plan of salvation, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. I want to shake your hand, brother. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name?
Billy.
Billy, welcome. It's the best decision that you could ever make. God bless you. I want you to stay behind. I'm going to talk to you after the service and pray for you. Bless you. God bless you, Iris. Bless you. May the Lord bless you as you open your heart to him. Amen. Oh, bless you. The Lord bless you. What's your name?
Harry.
Harry, it's nice to see you again. And as you give your life to him, I want you to know again, it's the best decision you could ever make to come to know Jesus Christ. And again, after service, I'll talk to you and pray for you. God bless you. Let's give these wonderful people a hand as they come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Our worship team are going to lead us. I know we're all over in the program here, so let's go for I Surrender All. I Surrender All. Amen. Let's stand together and sing as we draw this service to a close. amen. Well, thank you so much to our worship team for leading us and for all of you for coming this morning to worship the Lord. And please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees and refreshments. Also, please note that this evening is our worship evening, and there's a slight change as a result of many of our food bank team coming down with COVID. So it's still going ahead, but it's going to be led by our worship leader, Ian. Also, it's funny, ironic that we're talking about excuses, but I'm about to make an excuse. I'm going to, after the service, I'm going to head off after I talk with those who have come to Christ. I'm going to share with them, but then I'm going to be leaving because I'm going to go and surprise my mum, okay? So I won't be around to fellowship, but I will be back tonight. So for those of you who are coming tonight, I will be around to see you. So God bless you all. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, again, we just thank you so much. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your presence. And thank you, Lord, for the anointing that rests on our lives. And we thank you for all that you have done here this morning. We thank you for the mothers. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed, Lord, this church with wonderful women, Lord, who love you, who serve you, and who are great examples to us here in the church. And Lord, we thank you for these wonderful people who have opened their hearts to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. We rejoice with heaven now. And we thank you that heaven rejoices over one, then over 99 just persons. We thank you for salvation. And we pray for all of us as we leave this place, that Lord, that you would help us not to make those excuses, but help us to be courageous, help us to be bold, to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want us to do, our answer is yes. So Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. Amen. Amen. Love you, church. God bless you all.